You know, it doesn't take as long as children to learn that there are some things in life that are complete opposites. They're on two different sides. That they have nothing to. So, if we were to talk about opposites this morning, and we were to talk about the opposite of in is out, and the opposite of on is off. We know these things, right? The opposite of up is down. I mean, you learn this as kids. It's just basic information. Well, Jesus knew that. Jesus knew the stark contrast in the vivid way that contrast can teach us when he talks about differences in things, especially what we see in John chapter 8 and verse 12. And so I want you to look at that text this morning, because what Jesus does for us in John chapter 8 and verse 12 is he helps us see not the difference, not the opposite of in and out and on and off and up and down, but the opposite of dark is light. And Jesus wanted his people to understand that difference. It's an obvious difference. You learn that. You learn that as a child. You learn that as a very young child. When mom and dad walk out of the room at night and turn off the light, you understand the difference between light and dark. And when you scream and yell and they come back in and turn the light back on, you understand the difference between dark and light. You get that really early on in life. And Jesus said, I want you to think about that. And he said, I want you to think about that in relationship, not to being a child, not to just life in general, but I want you to think about that in relationship to your spiritual life, to your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as I looked in John chapter 8 and verse 12 this week, I went back and just dug out the concordance and said, okay, what does the Bible say about light and dark? So I read every time in the Bible uses those words dark and light, and there's a lot of them. There's more than what we can get to this morning, obviously. But I want us to sit at the feet of Jesus this morning. He wants us to see the difference between darkness and light. He wants us to sit at his feet. What was on his mind when he's trying to teach us that difference? And so as we've been doing, as we've been walking with Jesus over the last year, is we've stopped at certain times when Jesus does some teaching, and we've noted that teachers in the first century, they didn't stand behind a pulpit, but instead they sat down when they taught. And so this morning, I just want to sit with you for a few minutes, and I want us to imagine that we're sitting at the feet of Jesus today. Come back tonight. We're going to finish John chapter 8 tonight, and we're going to be sitting at his feet tonight, but I want you to imagine you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a thing to say. I am the light of the world. What would you have thought when you first heard that? He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. I'm the light of the world. You follow me, you won't walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. What does Jesus want us to know about darkness and light? First thing I want you to think about is just the fact that in this verse and many other places, Jesus warns us against darkness. What is that? I want to ask you four questions when it comes to darkness this morning. First of all, I want to ask you, what is it? All right? And then I want to ask you, where does it come from? What's its source? Who's behind it and who benefits from it? When you think about what the Bible teaches us about darkness, what does darkness do? If I'm walking, I'm not talking about when you walk out of the room and turn off the light at home. I'm talking about, spiritually speaking, what happens if we walk in darkness? What's the big deal if we just kind of venture over into that in our spiritual lives? And then the last question, where does it always lead? If I stay, spiritually speaking, in darkness, where does it always lead? So first question, what's darkness? Well, we know, because Jesus is using a contrast here, darkness is the opposite of light. We know that, but the Bible emphasizes that. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Isaiah says, woe to him. God says, woe to him who calls good evil and evil good. Is that a good thing to do, to call good evil and to call evil good? No. And so God says, woe to that person. And then he keeps on in that verse. He says, woe to the one who puts darkness for light and light for darkness. They're complete opposites. And God says, don't say that they're the same. Don't try to put them in each other's place. Well, darkness is light. No, he says they're very different. Well, what is darkness? In Scripture, here's what it is. Three things, really one thing. Darkness depicts evil. That's what it is. And on a spiritual plane, when Jesus says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, he's not talking about whether you got the light on in your house or not. He's talking about evil. He's talking about the error that's in the world. He's talking about the way that wicked people live their lives. We're in John 8. If you back up into John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21, Jesus draws this out in very plain language. What's darkness? The complete opposite of where God wants us to be. It's over here living in an evil, wicked world. So it's not hard for you to figure out the answer to the next question, is it? Who's behind it? Where did it come from? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, it's the God of this age. Notice the letter G here, lowercase g, the God of the... Well, who is that? That's the devil. It's not God who's brought darkness into this world. It's the power of the devil himself who's done this. When God chose Saul of Tarsus in Acts 26 and verse 18 and sent him out, he wanted Saul of Tarsus to help people to understand the difference between darkness and light and between the power of God and the power of the devil. If I venture over into a world of evil, a world of wickedness, if I allow myself to follow after those who teach error, God says, I'm not following after God. I'm venturing into a world where Satan is in control. I'm venturing into a life where Satan is the one who's benefiting from what I'm doing. So what does it do? If I get over into this darkness of life, what does darkness do? This first one may surprise you. You may not think that darkness does this. 1 John chapter 2 says that it does. If I get over into an evil life, if I live over in a sinful, wicked life, you know what God says that's doing to me? He says that darkness is blinding me. That might be the opposite of what you think. I mean, because what blinds us? I mean, what did your parents tell you growing up? Don't look into the sun because you'll go blind. I mean, we think light is what blinds us. Saul of Tarsus, when he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, a bright light appeared to him. And what's going on? Saul was blinded. What was he blinded by? The light. We think light blinds us, and it does, potentially, physically. Spiritually, 1 John chapter 2, the Bible tells us that darkness blinds those who are in it. Just let that settle in. Darkness? What does that mean? It means I can't see what I need to see. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says it's the God of this age. It's the God of this age who has blinded me. The God of this age who has pulled something down over my eyes so I don't see what I need to see. Have you noticed that to be true? You ever notice those who live out in the world, who live out in wickedness, and they have no idea that they're in a wicked life? They have no... Why? Because they've been blinded by it. What does darkness do? It confuses. It confuses. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, talks about this spiritual thing of darkness. And it says that they stumble, but they don't know what makes them stumble. And you're like, yeah, I know. I've walked in my house at night, and I've stepped on Legos, and I've stepped on, you know, things that are left on the... But you know what makes you stumble, because you can turn on a light and see it. But in darkness, spiritual darkness, people stumble, Proverbs 4 and verse 19, and they don't know what makes them stumble. Jesus says in John 12 and verse 35, people who walk in darkness, they don't know where they're going. You ever seen anybody driving and it didn't look like they knew where they were going? You're following them and you're like, are you going to turn? You're not going to turn? Where are you going? That's what people in darkness, they don't know where they're going. Does that sound kind of a life that I want to be in? I'm blinded by this. I'm confused by this. Bible says that when it comes to darkness, it deceives. It deceives us. Isaiah would talk about the fact, when it comes to darkness, that there are individuals who are walking in darkness. And as they're walking in darkness, Isaiah 29 verse 15 says, they're trying to hide their counsel from God. They're trying to hide their plans from God. How does that work out? You think you can hide your thoughts, your plans, your counsel? You think you can hide that from God? Here's the Bible saying, darkness, when you're living in it, absolutely deceives you. Thinks you can hide stuff from God. And this darkness, it actually not only blinds us, but it hardens us. It hardens us to keep walking in that darkness. Jesus says in John chapter 3 that those who walk in darkness, they hate the light. What makes them hate? They've become hardened to what God wants them to do. Hardened to the life that God wants them to live. And when I get over in darkness, it not only blinds me and confuses me and deceives me and hardens me, but it just becomes a life. We don't have time to look at these verses, but Jesus talks about the fact in John 3, those who are walking in darkness, they love it. It's their life. They love it. Do you know people who are living a wicked life and they wouldn't have it any other way? They're absolutely loving that. In Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah says there's people who are not, they don't just love it, but they're sitting in it. They're sitting in darkness. What does that indicate? They're comfortable. I'm going to hang out here. I'm going to stay here. Darkness is dangerous. That evil, wicked, deceitful life, Jesus says, don't get, and why not? Here's three reasons. Here's three reasons why not. Where does it lead? The Bible tells us that it's absolutely unfruitful, Ephesians chapter 5 says. What does that mean? It's not going to benefit you. It's not going to feed you. It's not going to provide for you. It's unfruitful. But I'm deceived. I don't realize that. I've been blinded if I'm in darkness. I've been blinded. I don't realize that. And God says it's unfruitful. It's not going to take you where you want to go. John chapter 12, Jesus says that those who walk in darkness, where does it lead? Ultimately? Ultimately, it leads somebody to allow their life to be overtaken by it. They don't realize it. It happens gradually. And ultimately, Jesus would talk about the fact that those who walk in darkness and don't leave it are going to be cast into outer darkness. I mean, if this was the entirety of the sermon, would this be kind of depressing? I mean, this is kind of sad, isn't it? To look at a life that I could choose. Why is Jesus drawing such a stark difference between light and darkness? Because he's warning us against darkness. He's warning us against the life that the world would have us live. He's warning us against the life that the devil would have us, that he's duping us to think this is no big deal. And Jesus says, it's a big deal. Eternally, it's a big deal. In a group like this, perhaps there are some of us who look in the mirror this morning and we think, is that where I am? Am I deceived? Am I somebody who's allowed the devil to blind me and I don't even realize I've been confused thinking I'm okay, but maybe I'm not okay? Jesus warns us against the light in order that he might draw us, warns us against the darkness, I mean, in order that he might draw us into his light. Very briefly, I want to ask you four questions about that light. What is it? I mean, we asked about dark. I mean, Jesus is using a metaphor here, light and darkness. What is light? Who is its source? And that you're going to figure that, you're going to figure out that question real easy. Who is its source? What happens? What happens to somebody who steps into the light? What's going to happen in their life? What's going to change? What's going to be involved when somebody steps into the light? And if I'm going to follow Jesus, what does that involve? What is light? Well, the first answer is not going to surprise you. Light is the opposite of darkness. Hello, I mean, that's what Jesus is saying, and you know that just from a young child. But what is it? If darkness is evil and wickedness and error, then light is the complete opposite of that. And so in Scripture, Jesus would help us to see, John chapter 3, that light is His truth. Light is His truth. Light is His gospel, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Book of Proverbs talks about light as righteousness, right living. You see the complete difference that there is, not just physically light and darkness, but spiritually, between evil and wickedness and that which is completely against God, and over here, that which is according to God's truth. Walking after His standard. Living His righteous life. And so it's not a surprise that who came up with this? Who's the source of it? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. And yet we look at Jesus who says, that's Him. He's the light of the world. And so what is Jesus, what does God want us to know about walking in the light? What happens? What happens when somebody steps into that light? Same thing that happens when you walk into a room. You walk into a room and God wants us to know that light shines. And when light shines, I mean, that's the very definition of the idea, right? That light is to shine in the darkness. And when it shines in the darkness, it opens people's eyes to the way that they're living. Somebody doesn't know that they're in evil and wicked life until the light of the gospel and the truth shows it to them. And so God told Paul in Acts chapter 26, I want you to open their eyes. How do you open somebody's eyes? I know how you open your eyes. How do you open somebody's spiritual eyes? You just let the light shine. You take God's truth. And in a world of darkness, you say, hang on. You're in darkness, and here's the truth. Here's the gospel. Here's the way that God wants you to live. And so as the light of the gospel shines, it is calling people. They see that they're in darkness, but God says, why don't you come over here to the light? I know people want to stay in darkness. But when they see the light of the gospel, it's God's way of calling them. God doesn't use a phone. He uses the gospel. And He's calling them into His light. He's beckoning them to come over. And that's what happens. When somebody steps into the light, they're reckoning, wait a minute, I'm in darkness? And the way I'm living is not right? And God is showing me through His light, here's how I get right. Here's how I serve God. Well, then that's where I want to go. And so He not only calls us through that light, but Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, He'll bring us out. He'll absolutely transform you. Have you ever been transformed by the truth, the gospel of Christ? Where you've looked and said, I'm not in the right place. I'm walking in a world of wickedness and error, and yet you've allowed the light, it may just be a crack of light that you've seen. You say, you know what? That's what I need. That's what I want. And so if you'll allow the light of the gospel into your life, what's going to happen? If you allow the light of the gospel into your life, you're going to have to turn fully to it. And Romans chapter 13 says, you're going to need to take those works of darkness and you're going to need to cast them off. When you go home today, maybe when you go home tonight, perhaps you're going to take your dirty clothes and you're going to throw them over in the dirty clothes hamper. And that's what God says. These works of darkness, when I recognize that I'm in works of darkness, God says, don't keep them. Don't just put light on top of darkness. God says, you've got to get that sin out of your life. You've got to get that wickedness. You've got to cast it off. You've got to turn fully over to the light. And when you do that, it's going to change you. When you do that, it will absolutely transform, conform who you are, because you'll no longer be walking in darkness. But 1 John 1 and verse 7, you're going to be walking in the light. And when you do that, you're going to look different. It's going to be distinct. People are going to say, hang on, you're not the same person you used to be. You're right. You know, because I used to be in darkness and I didn't know where I was going. I used to be in darkness and I'd stumble and I didn't know why. But in the light, I know where I'm going. In the light, I know who I'm following. In the light, I've got a life that's out there for me. It's given to me by my God. and it's what I want. It's what I've got my sights set on, that I will not turn. And that's what Jesus says in John 8 and verse 12. He who follows me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What it means to follow Jesus is to turn 100% to Him. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It's to take the works of darkness, it's to take the evil that's in my life and say, I can't have any of this. I want to follow. And that's what he says in John 8 and verse 12. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. He makes up his mind. He's got to stop doing that. What does it mean if I follow Jesus? What it means is that I walk distinctly in his light and I have no fellowship with darkness. I can't be over there. Instead, I use the light to expose that which is in the darkness, and I let my light. So remember Jesus saying in Matthew 5, I let my light shine. Not in an arrogant way, but so people can see Christ living in me. So that one day I might obtain not just a new life on this earth, but an eternal life with Him. Can I ask you this morning, where are you in this contrast today? Where are you when it are you 100% in the light? Are you walking in the light as He is in the light? Are you following after the light of the world? Or are you playing over in darkness a little bit? You know, Jesus doesn't say that we can have one foot in here and one foot in here. Jesus says you're either all over here or you're all over here. And if you're trying to be like those who are hiding, Isaiah 29 talks about those who are trying to hide their deeds from God. God says, then you're over here. You've got to be fully committed to His light. And so as you think about that today, I want you to think for just a few minutes about something that's going to happen here in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today is something that we call Mission Sunday. This morning we're talking about Jesus being the light of the world. Guess what that is? That's Mission Sunday. Mission Sunday is all about taking the light of Christ to those who need it. 22 years ago, actually 23 years ago, our elders were talking about the mission work of this congregation. And in a meeting, they were looking at the mission work that we were involved in, and they started talking to each other, and they said, you know, what can we do more? How can we do more in mission work in this church? And a lot of things were discussed in that meeting back in whatever year that was, 23 years ago. But one of the ideas that came out of that meeting was Mission Sunday. And what the elders decided to do was to take all of the mission work that the church had been involved in and to take it out of what was then a 52-week budget for the church. It was $50,000 that we were spending back in 2003 on mission work. And so the elders took that out of the regular budget, and they said, you know what, we're going to have one Sunday every year, and every dollar given on that one Sunday, on that mission, every dollar given is going to go towards mission work that year. The elders stepped out in faith, because the elder said, we're already doing $50,000 worth of mission work. And so what the elders were saying is, we need to contribute as a congregation $50,000 on that one day just to keep doing what we're doing. And ushers, if you've got those papers, you can go ahead and pass them out. But the elders stepped out on faith on Mission Sunday. And they said, we're going to give the congregation an opportunity to show the elders just how much they are committed to mission work. And little did that eldership know how devoted this church is to the truth that Jesus is the light of the world. And on that first Mission Sunday, this congregation gave $125,000 for mission work that year. It was the congregation saying to the elders, we want to do more than the $50,000. We want to do more than twice as much as we've been doing. And so ever since then, as you know, members of this congregation know, the congregation has continued to meet every challenge the elders have presented, and to continue to challenge even the elders to come up with more opportunities. And so what we have been a part of in this Mission Sunday for these last several years is we've been a part of shining the light of Christ around this world. We have been a part of opening people's eyes to the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to be a part of that. We've got to be a part of souls coming out of darkness and walking in the light of Christ. There ought to be nothing as Christians more exciting than that, than to see those who once were in darkness, as Jesus talked about, who are now in the light because of not us, but because of the gospel of Jesus. We've seen through Mission Sunday the power of the gospel at work. We've seen, and we've been a part of Mission Sunday, where we've seen Christ at work on this earth. And so these handouts are being given to you in order to abbreviate my next several comments. And so you can look at that with me as we go through it. But I want you to think about, just for a couple minutes here, the last 22 years of Mission Sunday. And this is mostly somewhat detailed for you in what you're getting. But for 22 years, this congregation has given sacrificially every single Mission Sunday. And if you're a guest here today, I want you to understand, this is not Palm Beach Lakes patting ourselves on the back. It is not that. It is Palm Beach Lakes standing in awe of the fact that God has used us. And you will see this on the last page when we conclude in just a minute. Standing in awe that God has used us to do His work. And so today we don't stand in awe of Palm Beach Lakes. We stand in awe of God. And we stand in awe of what our God has done with us and through us. Standing in awe that on average for the last 22 years, God has worked through us on Mission Sunday to give on average over $164,000 every Mission Sunday. How is that possible? Only through Christ. That's the only explanation. That is only possible through Christ. Because during that same period of time, when we gave on one day over $164,000, during that same period of time, on average, every other Sunday that year, about $14,500 was given on average. What does that show you? That shows the heart of this church. The heart of this church is devoted to mission work. The heart of this church is devoted to Jesus being the light of the world. Not Palm Beach Lakes. Jesus did not say in John 8, verse 12, "Hey, look at Palm Beach Lakes. They're the light of the world." Forget that. He said, look at Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. And so we have been blessed over these years to allow God to work through us to take the light of Jesus, not just around the world, we'll talk about that in a minute, but just around this area. To think about all that God has done through us just through local means. And you can see a list in your handout, see a list on the screen. The various things that we have tried over the years, whether it be in advertising, whether it be direct mail, whether it be television, radio things, and especially these last several years, obviously, through various online efforts and social media efforts and all sorts of geofencing and just all sorts of things that are trying to grab people's attention and draw them in, not to how great Palm Beach Lakes is, to draw them into the truth of the light of Jesus. And not just in mass efforts, we've done that in personal efforts. And so it's one reason we, so often during the year, there will be things out in the lobby on tables for us to take. It's our elders saying that mass efforts work, but mass efforts don't work as good as personal efforts. One-on-one is still the best way to reach people with the gospel. And so that's why things have been put out there, Bibles and New Testaments and cards and just tracts and brochures, all sorts of things over the years to say, here's something we can take and put in people's hands. And say, how can I share the light of Christ with them? And then we've been able to bless sister congregations around here through Mission Sunday. God has used us. And so this last year, we were able to help most of the congregations in this area with tracts and a lot of the evangelism Bibles from Apologetics Press, and they've been using them in their efforts because it's not about Palm Beach Lakes reaching Palm Beach County. It's about the Lord's church shining the light of Christ in Palm Beach County. But not just in this area. We've been blessed, as you know, to help various works around the nation. And we have sent our young people, our senior high, and adults now. Many adults go with them now on these mission trips. And we've been taking these trips since even before Mission Sunday. We've been taking these trips since 1996. And yet over that period of time, you know, to help 22 congregations in at least 15 or 16 states, and I lost count trying to to count every state that we have been to. But this last year, they went to Montana and worked with the church in Glendive, Montana. Because of Mission Sunday, perhaps we're more familiar with In Search of the Lord's Way, the television program that's on every Sunday morning, 7 o'clock, and you can watch it. If you've got Dish or DirecTV, or you can go to YouTube and watch episodes that have aired in the past. But what a great program. And I've been looking around, and I haven't seen him this morning. 4 weeks ago, we had a visitor here named Fred. And he came because he's been watching In Search of the Lord's Way every Sunday morning. And he said, I need to check out this church that I keep hearing about on the television. That's why we support this great television program, this great effort. We've been able to help a lot of students in schools of preaching. In fact, that's one of our elders' main emphases, is to try to help men who are training, going through training programs in order to better themselves and prepare themselves in order to preach the gospel. And so even this past year, we helped a student up in Central Carolina and a student who was going to Southeast Institute and a couple students who were going to Memphis. And the name Robert Lupo is a name that you know, and so that's why we put Robert C. Lupo in this. That's different. The Robert Lupo who works here is Robert J. Lupo, by the way, if you want to know what his middle initial is. It's Robert J. Lupo. That's who works here. But his uncle, Robert C. Lupo, works in a very impoverished area up in Sneedville, Tennessee, and so we've been able to help him. And because this congregation has given over and above these last several years on Mission Sunday, we've been able to help Robert C. Lupo over and above. He lost some support a while back, and because of this congregation's generosity, we've been able to help him a little bit more each year. Not because Palm Beach Lakes is great, because God is using us in this area, around the nation, and then just around the world. And you see this list in your handout, and it's not exhaustive. And again, it's not patting ourselves on the back, but to be able to help missionaries, or literally missionaries around the world. In every part of this world, we've been able to help missionaries. And because this congregation has given over and above these last several years, we've been able to help our missionaries over and above their regular support. And so there are a variety of projects. You know, every missionary has a wish list that says, you know, I'd really like to do this in evangelism. I'd really like to reach this people. I'd really like to try this in evangelism. But they have a wish list, but they can't afford to do a lot of the things they would like to do in evangelism because they're limited on funds. But when we can contact our missionaries that we support because of this church and to say, this church gave over and above, we've got some extra funds, is there something we could help you do? We haven't met a missionary yet who says no. Every missionary has a wish list of things they'd like to do for the Lord. And this church helps them to fulfill many of those things. The second item is sometimes we've been able to help missionaries that aren't on our monthly support, but other missionaries around the world, to help them just with some one-time funds. And so this last year, we were able to help missionaries in Costa Rica, in West Africa. We were able to help a missionary down in Australia. Literally, I'm telling you, every part of the world, we've been able to send help because of God's goodness to us. And then just many of you have been a part of mission trips, not missionaries, but just going on mission trips to various places. And when those requests come in, oftentimes we've been able to help them. We helped a man and his wife go on a survey trip to Japan in 2025, a guy who's looking to start a mission work in Japan. We were able to help him go this last year. And so you see the list here. And it's only because of God's goodness that we've been able to be involved in a number of works to try to let the light of Christ shine as brightly in this world as we possibly can. But no doubt one of the best things that we get to be a part of is Apologetics Press. This is one of the greatest lights, the brightest lights that this dark world has. And if you're looking to share things with friends, if your friends ask you questions about the existence of God, about the Bible, about alleged contradictions in the Bible, your friends ask you questions, your first stop ought to be apologeticspress.org. I mean, not because of what the people are writing, but because of the truth that is being taught on that website. And not just in their writings, but in their videos. What a tremendous work that those men are doing. And obviously, we've got the Reason of Revelation and the Discovery magazines that are out here for adults and for children. Those are a part of some of the things that they do. And we often have some of their men come down here and speak. These Bible cards that our kids are collecting were created by Jeremy Pate up there at Apologetics Press. And these are helping people to learn the Bible. Not just kids. There are adults who are learning the Bible because of these cards. There are adults collecting these cards, reading the information on the back, and learning things by little collector cards. And how blessed we are that we get to be part of that work. And again, because this church has given over and above these last several years, the congregation has been able to send Apologetics Press extra funds. Many of their special projects that you see coming about are happening in part because of the generosity of this church. Right now, Josh Blackmer is in Easter Island. That's pretty cool. It's really cool to think about him being there because it's the most remote part of this earth. You don't just end up there by accident. It's really cool because he's made 18 trips there over these years. It's really cool that he's there because COVID shut the place down for about 4 years. Last year was the first time he'd been able to go back since COVID. But he's there right now, working with that church that has 4 members in it. Working there right now, you saw his report, or a week ago today, he baptized a lady who lives in Chile. This is the second person that he's baptized who lives in Chile. They come over, I guess, to vacation in Easter Island. They go back to their homeland in Chile. Second person that he met while there on Easter Island, baptized, who's now going back home to Chile. We get to be a part of this work in the most remote part of the world because God's using us. He's using Josh to do this. It's not to say how great Josh is or how great we are, but to say, can you imagine God using us to do all of this? In 2021, our elders started what's called Answering Macedonian Calls. And I love that name because it's biblical. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible says that Saul of Tarsus saw a vision of a man in Macedonia. And in Macedonia, the vision of the man said, come over here and help us. That's what Answering Macedonian Calls is. Congregations calling and saying, help us. And Dan Jenkins and Josh Blackmer have been able to answer those calls. They've been all over the place since 2021. This last year in 2025, Dan spoke in at least 10 different congregations in at least 5 different states, driving back and forth to Ohio multiple times. I mean that with love and sincerity, but this couple gets in the van and they drive to Ohio. Most of you would fly, right? But they enjoy driving. But going up there, preaching for those congregations, flying over and doing a gospel meeting in 8 Mile Rock in the Bahamas. You've seen Batman, right? Batman's got the bat signal, right? You ever seen a Dan Jenkins signal? I mean, that's when Dan gets a call, when the Macedonian call comes in, Dan's going everywhere, preaching the gospel, doing all sorts of things for congregations, and Josh is doing the same. He and Kara were working with congregations in Paraguay early last year, and they're going to be leaving in a week or so, headed back there to work with those congregations again for a couple months. They worked with that congregation up in Glibdive, Montana for 3 months. You know that Josh and Kara were up in New Hampshire working with two congregations for 3 months, and all of that is a result of Mission Sunday. All of that is a result of God using us to shed the light of Christ around this world. I want you to look at the last page. I think it's the last page of the handout that you received. Mission Sunday. It ought to be, and it is, but it ought to be a major highlight. You know, in about a month, a little less than a month, the NASCAR season is going to get started. For some of you, you have no idea what that means. But in just a little over a month, the NASCAR season is going to get started. In just a little less than a month, the NFL season is going to end. You know how the NFL season ends, right? It ends with what game? Super Bowl. They end with their biggest game. NASCAR flips it. That's how weird NASCAR is. NASCAR flips it, and they start with their biggest race, Daytona 500. It's the highlight of the year. Well, Mission Sunday, we start at the beginning of the year in January. January 25th, last Sunday of this year. We start with the highlight of the year. But what should this do? In Mission Sunday, we are reminded that beyond these walls is a lost world that's still waiting to hear what we know. In Mission Sunday, we are reminded that it's God's gospel that saves souls. It's not us. We're not patting ourselves on the back here. If we were, shame on us. We're reminded it's God's gospel that saves. We're reminded that our simple responsibility is to pass along the truth that first reached us. We stand in awe of what God has accomplished through ordinary people. That's all we are, who are willing to both give and to go. In Mission Sunday, we get to reflect deeply on the greatness and the goodness of the God that we serve. It's all about Him, and so we get to give Him the glory that He deserves. Look at these last words, for all that He has accomplished. I thank God that 23 years ago, our elder said, "What more can we do?" And I thank God that when the elders presented this to the church said, "Oh yes. Oh yes, we can do that. And oh, by the way, elders, we want to do more." Heart of this church recognizes that Jesus is the light that this dark world needs and is willing to give sacrificially in order to make that happen. May God never let us think it's about us, but to be reminded it's all about Him. Would you pray with me just briefly? Our Holy Father, we have talked over these last several minutes about Your work on this earth and how blessed we are to be a part of it. Holy Father, we thank You for using us merely as an instrument in Your hand to not do our work, but to do Your work on this earth. And God, we pray as we think not just about Mission Sundays of the past, but that as we look to the future and as we look to 2 weeks from today, to Mission Sunday this year, and the work that we will be able to be involved in this year, Father, we pray that Your blessings would be upon us, that You would continue to use us, that You would be with our elders as they look at ways and places and works that we can be involved in, that as they challenge us this year, that we will see Your hand at work, and that we will allow ourselves to be used by You. Father, help us to think about and pray about what we can give individually on that day in order that it might be another day of great victory for the cause of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. As we close this lesson this morning, I want to ask you, based upon John chapter 8, are you following the light of life? Are you following Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? With that faith in your heart, have you decided, I need to stop doing what's wrong? I need to start doing what's wrong. I need to repent. I need to get away from sin. It's tearing me away from God. It's separating me from God. Have you made that decision? Have you confessed your faith in Jesus? And if you've done all of that, have you been baptized? Have you done what Justin and Jay did on Friday night? Recognizing that you're separated from God because of your sins, have you said to the light of life, I need to be saved by your blood? If you've never been baptized into Christ, why don't you do it today? Give your life to Him. Follow after Him. Be saved by Him. And then spend the rest of your life walking faithfully with Him. If this church can help you get right with Jesus, why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.